So for example, maybe click-through rate's low, but open rate is high. Okay, well, you know, let's do some testing around that. Let's figure out how we can get that up. Start there, brainstorm what you can test, and run with it.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, well, each month we focus on a different marketing method like email, as we're doing this month, or SEO or Facebook ads. And each week I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. This month, as I said, is all about email marketing. Yeah, I know we missed the big old deliverability February the 1st deadline, but don't worry, we do have an episode coming up on that that will take you above and beyond in the next couple of weeks. But in this episode, we're not looking at something you have to do, we're looking at something you really ought to do if you want to maximize your email performance. We're looking at A-B testing. What are the mistakes you don't want to make? What are the goals you should be setting? What sorts of tests should you be running? How do you work out which tests to run? How do you keep track of all the stuff you learn with your email A-B testing? We will be talking about your campaigns, those one-off broadcast newsletters, whatever you want to call them, that go out to your customers. We will be talking about flows, so all your automations. We will also be talking about your pop-ups and a little bit about offers as well. There is so much discussed in this episode. My guest shares so much that I think she's basically giving you a list of things to test that are going to take you from now till Christmas to get through. So this one really is going to help you improve your email marketing performance and the sales you get from there. So make sure you listen right to the end, because at the end, my guest will be sharing her quickfire insider tips to help you maximize the performance of your email marketing. And I'll be sharing my take on it all, plus outlining some more free ways we can help you to improve your email marketing even more. So make sure you stay tuned to the end, everybody. Are you on WooCommerce? Then you need to know about the amazing deal Omnisend have created just for WooCommerce users. If you switch to Omnisend now, you'll get 30% off for 3 months, plus a $1,000 migration package for free. So there's no reason to be scared about moving email platforms. The Omnisend team are going to help you. They're going to help you too import your contacts from your current email marketing plugin, help you set up custom welcome and abandoned cart workflows, build 5 custom segments to improve your personalization, conversions and sales, create 2 pop-ups or sign-up forms for you that fit your brand and convert shoppers without being pushy, and set up a custom domain for your business so you're on top of all those new email deliverability requirements. How cool is that? So why not join the over 80,000 e-commerce brands using Omnisend today? Get that discount and amazing free migration package now via keepopt.com/woo. That's keepopt.com/WOO. In this episode, I'm chatting with email marketing expert Bridget Poston. Bridget is a conversion copywriter and email marketer who helps D2C clients via her Beeline Copy agency. There, she creates human-first email marketing to keep your customers coming back and finds untapped revenue within your email list. Hello, Bridget.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks so much for having me. This is awesome.
Great to have you here. And I love that finding untapped revenue within the email list, because I reckon pretty much every brand out there has got some untapped opportunities with their email marketing, even though it's 2024. I'm guessing you're going to agree with me on that one.
Oh, absolutely. There's so many opportunities that we can find in these email lists. It's crazy. We're going to kind of dive into some opportunities today.
Cool. So how did you get into email marketing?
Yeah, so I got into email marketing about a little over 2 years ago today. I used to work in the world of finance. I was working a full-time job at the time. And although I didn't hate what I was doing and I was good at what I did and I even had a good team, it wasn't bad. I remember coming home after 5 p.m. and just feeling unfulfilled. You know, I have a background in marketing. I have a background in writing. I like marketing and writing and I've always been interested in it. And so I started to think, I'm like, man, could I do something myself? Like, is there something that I could do on my own? I could work from wherever I want. I can work with my own clients that I absolutely love and help people doing something that I enjoy. And really, it was from there that I got into email copywriting first. So just the writing side and a little bit in strategy. And as the months went on, I was working primarily with e-commerce brands. And I started to notice that they needed help with more than just the writing. They came to me, they're like, Bridget, the writing's great. Like, thank you so much for writing these emails. But, you know, do you do design as well? And I don't know how to use my email software. And I don't really have time to schedule emails and all these things. And I was like, oh, wow, okay. And from there, I realized there was a big need to have someone who can really do that holistic email marketing management for them. So then I set off to dive deep into that world and learning everything I can about email marketing so that I could help my clients even better. So fast forward to today, and I've worked with a variety of e-commerce brands across all different industries, and I've been helping them find that untapped revenue within their email list, helping them nurture and build their email list and create even communities with their email list. So it's been really fun. It's a fun journey, and I'm super excited to see where we go from here.
That's so cool that in just 2 years, you've created so much performance for the brands you work with. It's very cool. Clearly, you found your niche, I reckon.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And as you've been, because like in those first 2 years of business, you're usually doing some of everything. And it's like anything that comes, you're like, yes, I will do that for you. Yes, I will do that for you. Is there any kind of like a vertical you've got particularly enamored with? You know, like, is it beauty? Is it fashion for you? Is it electronics, gardening? Any of them in particular you're thinking you might start specializing in? Or is it just bring me problems to solve, bring me untapped revenue to find?
Yeah. So I feel like in the beginning, when you're starting out with anything, you're always like, I will help anyone who needs it. Like, I'll do anything, I'll do everything. And then you're kind of like swamped with work and all over the place. It can be good for experience, though, of course. And I think you actually have to start out like that to figure out what you like, what you enjoy. So, you know, I've worked with even coaches and course creators and, you know, personality-based brands along with e-commerce. And I've found that e-commerce has just been really fun for me. I've worked with a variety of brands, and as of right now, I don't have a very specific niche. Like, I've worked with beauty and apparel, jewelry, pet brands, health and wellness. So, you know, the list goes on, and I think I really enjoy working with a variety at this point in time. I might niche down as the months or years go on, but right now I like the variety because I get to test different things in different industries, and I get to learn about these brands and their unique audiences. And that's just super fun to do that research and to A/B test different, you know, campaigns and flows and see what works, because I'm getting to see, you know, what works in one industry might not work as well in another. So I just find that really, really intriguing. So I'm just running with it right now.
Cool. And yeah, I think there's a lot to be said for specializing, but there's also a lot to be said for being able to see across different verticals and across different things. And I swear, I'm not sure I could ever tell you which one I think is best, because there's so much to be gained from both of them. So love what you're doing. But you mentioned A/B testing then, and we are here to talk about A/B testing in email. You had the brilliant suggestion of starting off with some of the most common mistakes you use, because you're in that marvelous position of being able to see loads of people's marketing. So what are the most, I'm guessing the most common A/B testing mistake is not doing any A/B testing. So
you are spot on.
Yeah, it's got to be the number one, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yeah, there are a few. I'd say there are definitely like three big mistakes that I see a lot of people making. One is not doing any testing at all. This could be because people don't even know they should be testing. They don't have the time to do it. You know, if you're a busy business owner, maybe you don't even have an email marketer, you're just doing it yourself. You know, it's going to be a little bit tough to make the time to do it. You know, you got to build out flows and the pop-ups and the campaigns. It's like, I don't have time for that. So those are a few reasons people don't do it. But it is a big mistake, because if you're doing email marketing, then I imagine your goal is to improve your email marketing, to optimize it, to grow it, to generate more revenue, to build your list, to build a community. And the only way you're going to do that is if you're testing different things, kind of like a scientist. You know, you got to do these different experiments and see what works best. So number one mistake is not doing it at all. The second mistake that I see is people are testing, brands are testing, but they only do it once. So maybe they run, you know, an A/B test for a campaign, and it's testing two different subject lines. First of all, some people forget that they even did the test. So they'll forget to go into the data and actually review it and say, okay, you know, what performed better? What is the data telling me? And what can I do from here? A lot of people either don't make the time for it or they forget to do it. And then from there, they don't know that they actually should be testing more than once. So if you're testing subject lines for your campaigns, don't just stop at one campaign. That's not going to give you that much data. Even if there is one that does like way better than the other, you still don't know for sure if you can run with that for the long term and have it be the absolute best way to do it. So I recommend testing multiple times. We can kind of talk more about that later, but that's kind of number two, people not testing more than once. And then number three is people testing, brands testing at the wrong times. So for example, I see some brands trying to optimize or do a split test with like a win back or a sunset flow. And if you're familiar with those flows, they happen towards the end of that marketing funnel. So a win back flow is designed to try to re-engage lapsed customers. So you're trying to win back people who aren't really interested anymore or they haven't bought from you in a while. But why not start with the flows that are at the beginning of the funnel, right? Like the welcome flow, abandoned cart flow, where people are really just starting to get to know your brand. They're shopping, they're active. Like that's the time to be testing things because you're going to have a lot of people going through those flows. So number three would be people just testing the wrong things at wrong times.
I love those. And I have seen so many instances of those over the years. And I think everyone listening, given the name of this podcast is Keep Optimizing, will know how much I resonate with number two, because A/B testing is so much, it's so not a once and done, is it? It's like, it's a mindset. It's part of the program. You should be doing it. Essentially, you're always running tests. Would you ever advise pausing tests during a busy season or something like that? Is there a time of year to test and a time of year not to test? Or is it literally just part of our email marketing should be A/B testing?
Ooh, great question. Super glad you asked this because this is a question that a lot of people have and they're not sure. Like, okay, I know testing is good, but when do I do it? Do I do it all the time? Do I never do it? You know, all these things. So I would recommend testing throughout the entire year until you get to Black Friday, because Black Friday is prime time for email marketing, right? It's like the big holiday of the year for us. It's really the big event that we prepare, honestly, months in advance for. And so at this point, once you're planning your Black Friday strategy and you're sending out those campaigns and maybe you're tweaking your flows, that's not the time to be testing all these new and random things. That's the time to take your learnings from earlier in the year, from all your testing, and to go with what works. So once you get towards the holidays, I might suggest running with it even into Christmas. So once you get towards the end of the year, just run with what has been working. And then once you get, you know, into the new year, like right now, you know, January, February, that's when you should get back into your regular testing routine and see, you know, how you can optimize even further.
It's nicely put. Thank you, Bridget. I would assume if we were going to put a fourth on your list of common mistakes, it would be people only testing one thing in their email marketing. You know, like somebody might be listening to go, yeah, we test subject lines all the time. We've got A/B testing done. But there's so many facets across our email campaigns and our email activity that we can be testing. What are your top ones to go after? You said about start with the places you can make the most impact. Don't go after the sunset campaign or the reactivation. Go after the stuff that's going to have the biggest impact. But what other areas should we be looking at to run A/B tests in?
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, across the board, you want to be testing pop-ups, flows, and campaigns. So let's just start with pop-ups for a moment. So you can do something as simple as the offer. I would suggest that's the first thing you start testing is your offer. So it can be, you know, $10 off versus 10% off. Or it can be, you know, a gift card giveaway versus a free gift with purchase. You know, run that test for, I would say, several weeks, maybe even a month, and then check back in periodically to see how it's performing. Depending on which one is performing better, you can run with that one for a little while. But I would say even if you do choose like a winning offer, right, test the colors, test the images, the design of the pop-up, test the timing of the pop-up, right? And when I say pop-up, I should actually be saying opt-in form, because there are a lot of different versions of these forms. There are ones that stick to the top. There are ones that slide in. There are ones that pop up, right? There are ones where, you know, if you try to exit the page, it pops up on the screen. So there are a lot of different things you can test. You should be testing all of those methods when it comes to your opt-in forms, in addition to the offer. But one other thing where you can get a little bit more creative, I don't see a lot of people doing this, so I definitely want to share it so more people start doing it. It has to do with zero-party data. So most brands will have like a 10% off pop-up or whatever the offer is. And they say, okay, you know, first name, email address, submit. Cool. Awesome. You have their first name. You can use that maybe in a subject line or an email, which does help with personalization. But why don't we take it a step further? Because the goal is to get to know our customers, our audience, as best as we can. And with changes in third-party data and access to that data, it's now more important than ever to look for zero-party data. If you're not familiar with what that is, zero-party data is basically the information that customers give to you directly about them. So this could be if you're a pet brand, let's say, maybe in your pop-up form, you can ask them, you know, do you have a cat or do you have a dog or both? Right? That might be valuable to a sustainable pet brand that sells healthy food, because you're going to want to know which one they have. And once you have that data, you can feed it back to your email service provider. I use Klaviyo quite a bit with my clients because they're e-commerce. And from there, you can use that data to craft fun campaigns that are more relevant to dog owners or cat owners. And if you want to take it even further, you can optimize different welcome flows. This is a more advanced level, but based on maybe what their choice was, like they have a dog. From there, that can trigger a welcome flow that's tailored to, you know, dog food or dog products that you have. Whereas maybe they choose cat. You can have a separate welcome flow that says similar things, but it's tailored to them having a cat and cat products. So that's something I'm not seeing a lot of brands doing, is really taking the opportunity to use pop-ups to gather that zero-party data.
I love the fact that you've, in outlining those key pieces to test, you're talking about flows, you're talking about offers, you're talking about pop-ups, those kind of like big meaty parts of our email marketing. Well, I think a lot of people end up just getting hung up on minutia. You know, kind of like we talked about subject lines earlier. Subject line's important. Yes, you can test it really easily, but it's not necessarily the lever that's going to make the biggest impact compared to tweaking the actual offer you're sending people, which obviously impacts far more than the email marketing itself. When you're doing the A/B test, what numbers are you looking at to determine success? Are you looking at open rates, click rates, customer lifetime value, income? What's the number you're looking at to define this one is a cold hard winner?
Yeah, very, very good question. So I kind of start, when it comes to figuring out, okay, what test do I want to run? Maybe I'm just getting started with a brand and I'm like, okay, well, what test should I run? There are a lot of different tests you can run. So I start by looking at the data that we currently have. Maybe they've already been sending some campaigns, some flows. So I'm going to go ahead and look at, what are the open rates? What are the click-through rates? What's the placed order rate? How much revenue are they generating? And depending on how those things look, I will go ahead and come up with a test to see how we can raise one of them. So for example, maybe a click-through rate's low, but open rate is high. Okay, well, you know, let's do some testing around that. Let's figure out how we can get that up. So that's what I would focus on first, is whatever is kind of suffering, start there, brainstorm what you can test, and run with it. So for example, with the campaigns, click-through rate is low. Okay, so let's take a look at what's going on. One helpful thing, if you don't have this already, is I would suggest getting like an email heat map. I don't think Klaviyo has an integration, but it's not built into Klaviyo, but you can integrate like a third-party tool. And heat maps are super helpful because they show you exactly where people are clicking in your campaign. So once you know that, you can kind of see like, oh, where are people going, you know, looking at more? What are they not really going to? And then you can kind of switch up whatever you want. Maybe change the copy. Maybe have more copy. Try less copy. Have it be more design rich in one test, and maybe go with a plain text email at some point. Just see what the audience resonates with. One thing that seems small, but actually can make a big difference, is changing the color of your CTA buttons. It seems like it wouldn't do anything, right? But, you know, we have found that just changing it from, I mean, it could be anything. I'll just say from black to red, you know, that can lead to a boost in click-through rates. You know, who would have guessed? Just a change in color can change people's behavior. Kind of going back to answer your question, is it depends on what the current data looks like, what data points are suffering, and then diving into what tests you can run to try to get that number up.
Cool. Love that. Now, you mentioned earlier about testing, but only testing once and not learning from those tests. Do you have any tips for trying to keep track of all the things you learn over time so you don't end up having to kind of retest it, and so you're moving forwards all the time, not just constantly testing the same things? How do you keep track of those results?
Yeah, great question. I feel like, you know, everyone knows they should be doing A/B testing, and for the ones that are doing it, you can get to a point where you realize, okay, yeah, I'm doing all these things, but I don't remember how that one performed. And then suddenly you're like, your brain's all scattered and you're like, I don't even know what's going on, what the results are. And it can get messy rather quickly. So what I like to do is I just have like a very simple Google Sheets doc or like an Excel spreadsheet, and I organize it based on the tests that I run. So that's kind of how I like to do it. And I will just put in, you know, the date of the test, a little bit about what the test is and why I'm doing it, and then the date that I want to go check on the test. Now, to be clear, for campaigns, you can check it after, you know, maybe a day or two. It depends on the structure of your test, but that you can go in right after and be like, okay, how did it perform? But for flows and pop-ups, you want to let those have a little bit more time. I usually do several weeks or up to a month, and then we just see where things are at with that test. So since everyone is incredibly busy on a daily basis, it can be easy to forget check on your tests that you're running for an extended period of time. So I kind of set reminders for myself personally, and I'll also put in the date of when I want to check that test in that document. And then once I check it and, you know, it has statistical significance and I can see, oh, here's the clear winner, I'll dive in a little bit, see what I find, and I'll make notes in my document. So that's one way that I like to do it, and it keeps me organized. You know, find a way that works for you. If you're using Klaviyo, which is mainly for e-commerce brands, I love it. They actually have a section. If you know, once you get into your dashboard on the left-hand side, you'll see something that says experiments. So whatever A/B tests you've ran will show up in there under experiments. And it's all organized. It only shows A/B tests. It doesn't show anything else. And you can go in and dive into the data there too.
Nice. Loving that rundown. And I figure if the spreadsheet option manages to keep you on top of it all when you're looking after multiple brands, that's one we should definitely take on board. Awesome. Bridget, is there anything we've missed about A/B testing that we should let people know? I feel like we've been quite thorough, but you know it better than I do. So is there anything we've missed, or are we all covered?
Yeah, you know, I would love to just go over some more examples of how people can specifically test flows in campaigns. I know I talked a bit more about pop-ups. I got a little bit excited there, but I want to make sure we do cover everything. I'm someone who loves examples. It just makes it easier for my brain to wrap my head around, right? Around concepts.
Cool. In that case, we've got time for two examples. Let's do one of each. Let's do campaigns first. So that's the broadcast, the one-off send, and then we'll go into the automations and the flows. So give us your best example tip for campaigns, please, Bridget.
Awesome. Yeah. So in terms of campaigns, you can really look at testing timing, right? So time of day, you can pick, you know, two different times and you can see how it performs. One really helpful tip for this, instead of just like randomly guessing, you can look at your Google Analytics and Shopify Analytics and see when people are shopping on your site. So instead of just like, well, you know, Google says 11 a.m. is, you know, the best time to send emails according to this blog post. Okay, well, how about we look at your data and see when people are shopping and try sending during those times? So that would be my tip for timing. In terms of personalization, you can, of course, include their name in the subject line or the email. That's pretty common, but it does make a difference. And then another fun thing that some brands try is changing the sender name from, like, you know, ABC Company to Tina at ABC Company. You know, it makes it a little bit more personal, and it changes things up to where people might want to open it a little bit more often.
Cool. And what's your top tip for improving our flows with A/B testing?
Yeah. So in terms of flows, the most important things you should be testing are subject lines and offers. You can go way deeper, but, you know, if you just want to know, you know, quick and dirty what to test, subject lines and offers, do it multiple times to see what works best in terms of open rates. And then when it comes to offers, you know, for example, your abandoned cart flow, maybe you try offering a discount at the end versus not offering a discount. Maybe you try sending an SMS in place of an email. Or you take a conversational plain text approach from, you know, the founder or customer service versus a design rich one. So those are a few examples that you can apply to, honestly, a lot of different flows. But those would probably be my top two is offers and subject lines.
Love that. Thank you, Bridget. So anyone who's listening who hasn't got beyond the subject line test, so much you need to be testing, so many ideas there. But as Bridget was saying, don't just go, oh, Bridget said this, I should test it. Look at all the different options of what you could test. Look where your big wins are going to be and focus on those first. Okay, Bridget, it's been brilliant picking your brains, not testing your brains, picking your brains about A-B testing.
We got testing on the mind.
Yeah. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Bridget's insider tips on email marketing and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Are you on WooCommerce? Then you need to know about the amazing deal Omnisend have created just for WooCommerce users. If you switch to Omnisend now, you'll get 30% off for 3 months, plus a $1,000 migration package for free. So there's no reason to be scared about moving email platforms. The Omnisend team are going to help you. They're going to help you too. Import your contacts from your current email marketing plugin, help you set up custom welcome and abandon cart workflows, build 5 custom segments to improve your personalization, conversions and sales, create 2 pop-ups or sign-up forms for you that fit your brand and convert shoppers without being pushy, and set up a custom domain for your business so you're on top of all those new email deliverability requirements. How cool is that? So why not join the over 80,000 e-commerce brands using Omnisend today? Get that discount and amazing free migration package now via keepopt.com/woo. That's keepopt.com/WOO. Okay, Bridget, so far we've gone deep into A-B testing. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of email marketing. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with email marketing, which of course does include everything we've already been talking about. Bridget, are you ready for these?
Oh, I'm ready.
Excellent. Okay, so let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Awesome. Yeah, so a couple points here. If you're just getting started, whether you're, you know, a newbie marketer helping a client just get started, or maybe you're a small brand who's trying to go DIY style on your email marketing, the first things you should focus on are your pop-ups, so your opt-in forms and your flows. And the reason for this is if you're just getting started, you want to grow your email list. You want to get subscribers on your list. So you want to make sure you have an opt-in form in place first and foremost. And next to that, you're going to want to make sure you have a few flows set up, at least 3. I recommend the welcome flow, abandoned cart flow, and post-purchase flow. These are typically the highest performing, highest engaging flows across email marketing for most brands. So I would say focus on those first, because you want to not only grow your email list, but you also want to nurture them and convert them into customers. So even if you don't have much time and you can't maybe keep up with campaigns, I would recommend focusing on flows and pop-ups, in addition to testing as well. But start with that, and then you can incorporate that testing into there.
And that's brilliant. Thank you, Bridget. If once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah, so it's funny. I think A-B testing in and of itself is the way to optimize your email marketing strategy. So we've already talked a lot about that. Feel free to rewind and, you know, pick apart some of what we've talked about so you can apply it to your strategy. But aside from that, one way that I like to improve is I'm big on getting inspiration from other brands and keeping up with trends. So one way you can do that as well is I love Klaviyo. I've mentioned their name so many times, but they have so many resources that you can tap into and read on a daily basis. They have a newsletter. They even have something called Klaviyo Academy. And the Klaviyo Academy has a whole library of videos and tutorials showing you how to do email marketing, every aspect of it, including A-B testing. So definitely check them out. You can also have like a dedicated email address where you sign up to different email lists and you get a bunch of different emails, right? So I'll go into that email and I call it my inspiration folder, and I'll just look and see what everyone else is doing. That can be really helpful in coming up with new campaign ideas, new themes, and even new methods of testing.
I love that. I've done that for so many years, have that separate email account, because it keeps your own emails free of all of it, and it gives you one brilliant resource to go to. So love that you included that one. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing, we won't dive too deep because I know you'll be covering this at another time, but the Gmail and Yahoo sender requirements. So, you know, as of the time we're talking, it is February, so they are rolling it out as we speak. And this has to do with deliverability. So, you know, I mean, there are a bunch of articles on this, but make sure that you are compliant with these new Gmail and Yahoo sender requirements to ensure that your emails are going to the inbox and not to spam. Because if your emails are landing in spam, it can be hard to climb your way out of there, and it will affect your revenue.
Yeah, and all the email service providers have loads and loads of help on how to do it on their platform. And what we should also say is it's not that complicated to do. I feel like it's a lot simpler than you think it is if you have ownership of your own domain name, which you should do. If you don't have ownership of your own domain name and the ability to log in, you have bigger problems than email deliverability. And at least the email deliverability is going to get you to sort it out. But yeah, we will be doing a whole episode about email deliverability later on. So, but I don't think it can be said enough that you really do need to pay attention to this. So Bridget, thank you so much for bringing it up here. We're very nearly at the end of the show though. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business?
Yeah, so I'm very active on LinkedIn. You can just find me by looking up Bridget Poston. That's P-O-S-T-O-N. Name will be in the episode and also in the show notes. And you really can't miss me because I have a very bright yellow background in my profile picture, so I'm easy to see. But I post every week there content, tips, tricks, and different strategies that I am learning and growing from in my business and doing with my clients. So you can go there to learn. And you can also, you know, shoot me a DM that way if you want to talk about, you know, working together or if you have any questions. I'm always there to help. I also wanted to mention that I do have a resource that might be helpful to people, especially if you are just starting to build your flows out. I have what's called an email revenue playbook, and that you can find on my LinkedIn profile. It's completely free. You just put in your email address and I send that to you. And that will go over the three flows that I use with my client to take them from $30,000 per month in email revenue to over $300,000. So if you want a step-by-step guide on how to get that set up, definitely check that out. But the other way to contact me is just at my email address, and that's at bridget@belinecopy.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And that sounds like definitely a download everyone should go and grab from your LinkedIn profile. Bridget, thank you so much for being on the show. You've kicked off our email marketing month in style, given everyone plenty to be getting on with. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, Chloe.
So there you go. I think that's enough testing ideas to keep you busy with your email marketing right the way through to the end of this year. So that should give you plenty to get on with. Loving that breakdown that Bridget was giving us there. You can get the links to everything we discussed, the full transcript of this episode, important notes and more at keepoptimizing.com. And if you use our special direct episode short link, that's keepopt.com/the number of this episode, put that in the URL bar and you'll go straight to the right page on the website. When you get to the website, go on, add yourself to our email list too, because then you won't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it and want to continue learning about email marketing right now, then scroll back up your feed because you will see lots of episodes that start with the word email in the title. And that's the email marketing topics we have covered over the last few years. We do at least 1 month on email every year. So there's plenty of it. Some amazing people and some amazing breakdowns for you to get into. Lots of different takes, lots of different ideas. And you will also find all our email marketing content via the short link keepopt.com/email. And that will take you to all a big old list on the website of all the episodes we've done on email marketing. Enjoy those. And do please tell your fellow marketers about the show because we create it to help as many of you as possible. So it'd be brilliant if you could share it with them so we can improve their e-commerce marketing too. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Are you on WooCommerce? Then you need to know about the amazing deal Omnisend have created just for WooCommerce users. If you switch to Omnisend now, you'll get 30% off for 3 months, plus a $1,000 migration package for free. So there's no reason to be scared about moving email platforms. The Omnisend team are going to help you. They're going to help you too. Import your contacts from your current email marketing plugin, help you set up custom welcome and abandoned cart workflows, build 5 custom segments to improve your personalization, conversions and sales, create 2 pop-ups or sign-up forms for you that fit your brand and convert shoppers without being pushy, and set up a custom domain for your business so you're on top of all those new email deliverability requirements. How cool is that? So why not join the over 80,000 e-commerce brands using Omnisend today? Get that discount and amazing free migration package now via keepopt.com/woo. That's keepopt.com/WOO.